If you would take your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 for our text this evening. Proverbs 15, verse 28. Solomon writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." Now, this verse is very simple and straightforward, but how important are these words that are before us? The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And so we have two categories of people contrasted, the righteous and the wicked. There's certainly much that distinguishes the righteous from the wicked, but one of those is the words of their mouth. We can tell a lot about someone just by what they say. Of course, the righteous person, according to Scripture, is made righteous through faith. He or she trusts in God, who justifies the ungodly through the death of his Son, and is counted righteous on the basis of faith. By being united to Christ, we are reckoned as righteous in the sight of God through faith and not on the basis of the words that we speak. But those who have been reckoned as righteous through faith will begin to bring out the fruit of good works, which includes the fruit of good words. Our Lord Jesus put it this way in Matthew 12, 33 to 37, when he said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will have to give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Our words reveal our character. And in that, we need to recognize, of course, Jesus is not saying that we receive our righteousness from our words, but rather that we are shown to be righteous on the basis of our words, or else we will be shown to be wicked on the basis of our words, and therefore, if wicked, worthy of condemnation. This is because, of course, as Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the heart is righteous, righteous words will come out. If the heart is wicked, wicked words will come out. Or as Jesus said, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. Evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And this applies both to our works and also to our words. And our proverb this evening shows the difference between the righteous and the wicked in this regard of speech. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Before the righteous speak, they think. They ponder in their heart how to answer. They are, in the words of James 1:19, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so this means that we need to put on the brakes a little bit before we give an answer. Reason being, because once a word goes out of our lips, we can't take it back. Right? There's no way to reel it back. It's just like clicking send on an email, right? Once you click send, It's out there. It's not coming back. You can try to follow up and issue an apology if need be. You can apologize if you wrote something you shouldn't have written. You can send out a clarification. But whatever it is that you typed in that email, once you click send, it's out there. And if it shows your poor temper, your poor grammar, your incorrect spelling, whoever's on the receiving end is going to have ample opportunity to see it on full display. And it is the same with our words. We can't call them back. We can't undo them. We can clarify. We can repent if we need to repent of what we've said. But once the words are spoken, they are out there. What that means then is that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. If we've been made righteous through faith in Christ, we need to stop and think before we answer. As Charles Bridges expressed it, consideration is an important part of the Christian character. Nowhere more important than in the discipline of the tongue. Think twice before we speak once. You may have heard that expression in regard to measuring twice and cutting once, right? When you're working on a carpentry project, sometimes in jest, I have said, I measure once and cut twice, right? The point is here, it's the same thing as working a carpentry project. You have to think twice. Think more times if need be. Think as many times as you need before you speak once. And so, what are some of the things that the righteous should be pondering in their hearts? Or what are some of the things that they need to be considering in their hearts as to how to answer? Well, for one, they need to consider the circumstances of the situation, the particular situation they are dealing with. Proverbs 25:11 tells us, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. We have to look at the immediate setting. Know your audience. Who are you going to be speaking toward? What is their personal history like? What has been going on in their lives recently? What truth needs to be communicated to them right now? What kind of words should be used in order to communicate the truth that needs to be communicated to them right now? What would cause unnecessary offense? What would be likely to edify? How can the truth be communicated accurately in such a way that it accomplishes a godly effect? Would it be better, all things considered, just to be silent? Proverbs talks about how the fool keeps silent and is thought wise. Sometimes silence serves us best, sometimes not. We have to ponder, think about it, in order to know what we ought to say or if we ought not to say a thing. We read in Ephesians 4:29 that we are to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And again, you hear that circumstantialness of it when he says, according to the need of the moment. You have to look at the moment. What does the moment require? What kind of words will be helpful? What kind of words will be good for edification according to the needs of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear? And if you're familiar with that latter portion of Ephesians chapter 4, there's a pattern that's going on there where Paul says what should not be done, contrasts the evil deed with the good deed, what should be done, and then tells why that good deed should be done. And this is what's going on here. He says, let no unwholesome or rotten word come out of your mouth. That's what you're not supposed to do. But only what is helpful for edification according to the need of the moment, that's what you should do, and then the why, so that it will give grace to those who hear. According to our text in Proverbs, the wicked person is doing what ought not to be done, here in Ephesians 4:29, right? The wicked person is letting the unwholesome or the rotten words proceed out of their mouth. They're spewing it out. His mouth pours out evil things. Instead, we're supposed to be speaking these words that are good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And when Paul prohibits unwholesome words, he's not only prohibiting words that are coarse or vulgar, but also anything which would prove harmful to someone else. The kind of words we should be speaking are words that are calculated to build up the hearer according to the need of the moment. Doesn't mean it has to be what they want to hear. Sometimes hard truths need to be communicated, and we need to speak with grace and truth when those moments come. But nevertheless, always speak to edify. And obviously care is required to accomplish this. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Wisdom is required to accomplish this. We have to be able to judge the different circumstances of the case. Sometimes a gentle word is called for. Sometimes a more bold and less gentle word is called for. How can we tell the difference? Again, we have to know our audience, know the person we're talking to, know the situation. We need to look also at our own hearts. We might need to ask ourselves if we're trying to be a bully or if we're trying to act selfishly in some way with our words. We might need to ask ourselves if we're soft-pedaling something where a more firm approach is called for. We need to be people of prayer. We need to ask God for wisdom because no two circumstances are going to be exactly the same. And also we're called to speak according to the need of the moment. So we need much wisdom from the Spirit. We need much knowledge of the Scriptures. and much sanctified common sense for life in the real world. But all of the efforts put forth in this regard will be worth it, because it is by this means that, Paul says, we give grace to one another. That's the reason Paul gives for speaking these words of edification, is so that it will give grace to those who hear. This means that as we ponder in our hearts how to answer, we have the opportunity to become channels of the grace of God to one another. We may never know what good effect an edifying word spoken to someone will have on their soul. Your words directing the thoughts of an unbeliever toward Christ might be the means of their conversion. Your word of admonition might be the means by which a brother or sister is brought to repentance. Your edifying speech may well be the means by which the countenance of a discouraged brother or sister in the church is lifted up. You encourage them. You help them press on in their walk with Christ. Your words spoken in a moment of need may well be the means by which some brother or sister is encouraged to keep going in their Christian walk. Maybe they're tempted to just forget it all, run back to the arms of the world. Your words might be the means by which God enables someone to continue on. You never know how the Lord might use your words, but what is certainly clear is that we have the opportunity to be agents of grace to one another if we will but use the opportunity. And so choose your words accordingly. Right? This is what our text says. The righteous ponders in his heart how to answer. So let's ponder carefully when we speak. Now, before we look at the negative side of this proverb, I want to add a caveat regarding time. That is, regarding the amount of time that you spend pondering how to answer. If communication is oral and a conversation with someone, you don't always have a whole lot of time to ponder how to answer. If the conversation is via some means of written communication, email, text, or an actual letter, you have time on your side. But if it is a live conversation, don't put more pressure on yourself to give a speedy reply than need be. Sometimes there's no reason to delay. You know some good, gracious, and true words to speak to someone. You can speak those words and ask the Lord's grace that they will be edifying to the person, and there's no real need to delay. Sometimes, however, you might need to ask someone for some time before giving an answer, and that's okay. Maybe someone asks you a question about what the Lord might have them do in a situation, or about what the Scripture teaches in regard to something, or maybe someone seeking counsel for some area of their life, and you just don't know, and you need to stop and think about it. It's okay. Ian Murray told a story where he contrasted the difference between Martin Lloyd-Jones on the one hand and the Scottish-American theologian John Murray on the other hand, and he said that if you asked Martin Lloyd-Jones a question, that Lloyd-Jones would answer very quickly and give you a very confident answer, and it might be satisfying, perhaps, or at least Lloyd-Jones was convinced it was helpful. But he said that John Murray, on the other hand, if you asked him a question, that John Murray would be like, yeah, that's a good question. I have to think about that. And it's okay sometimes to take time to ponder and think. If you know the right answer, you can speak. If you have wise and edifying words to speak, but sometimes you might need to ask for some time before giving an answer. And that's okay. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. And then, on the flip side, of course, we have the negative half of the proverb. The mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. As we would say, this wicked person has no filter, right? It's there in the heart, and it just comes out. It just comes. The heart is wicked, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. James reminds us of this at some length in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So I'd invite you to turn with me there, and we'll look at some of those verses there in James chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1 and read down through verse 12. James says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, He is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our lives and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. James' words are very stark. He reminds us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity among the parts of the body. Verse 8, he tells us that no one can tame the tongue. Right? All these kinds of animals have been tamed by men. Taming the tongue? No, it's not going to happen. In your own human strength, it can't be done. How many of us know this from sad experience? How many of us have let words fly out of our mouths and then regretted it, either immediately or else sometime thereafter? We've all said words that we've regretted. We have all said sinful words. We have all, at one time or another, poured out evil things from our hearts out through our lips. And the words of our mouth point back to the disposition and inclinations of our hearts. And sadly, even as believers, even as born-again Christians, people who are made new by the working of the Holy Spirit, we sometimes say things that we ought not to say. We do not ponder enough how to answer, and our heart sometimes still gushes out these evil things. As such, these failings should humble us. These failings should cause us to cry out to God for grace so that we might bridle our tongues, that we would have the grace to stop and ponder and think twice before we speak once, instead of just spewing out evil words. And it should help us to look to Christ, who is both our perfect example of how to speak. You remember how the people at synagogue at Nazareth said they were marveling at the gracious words that were coming forth from his lips. They said, no man ever spoke as this man speaks elsewhere. And Christ is our perfect example for how to speak. And thank God he's also a merciful Redeemer who cleanses us from all of the sinful things that we have said. That hymn, I greet thee, whom my sure Redeemer art, put it well when it said of Christ that he has the true and perfect gentleness. No harshness hast thou, and no bitterness. Make us to taste the sweet grace found in thee, and ever stay in thy sweet unity. It reminds us that Christ has true and perfect gentleness, that Christ is the one who always speaks what is true and right, and Christ is gracious and merciful to sinners who have sinned. And so let's learn from this word that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Let's learn from the negative example that the mouth of the wicked spews forth these evil things. And as we look around society, we see this, right? You see it on social media, you hear it, if you watch the news or see things on TV, people all the time are spewing out evil words out of their mouth. So let that be a warning to us, a caution to us. And let's look to Christ for grace. Let's look to Christ as an example. Let's stop and think twice before we speak once. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would, in your grace, help us to discipline our tongues. We know that this is not a human endeavor that will succeed. We will not succeed in bridling our tongues in our own strength. But we know, Father, that the fruit of your Spirit is self-control. So we ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be upon all of us, that we would learn how to control our lips, that we would stop and think so that we might wisely and graciously answer others, that we would answer in a way that would be edifying and helpful to them. We pray that we would be agents of grace, that we would give grace to those who hear, and that we would not spew forth evil things, both to our own hurt and to the hurt of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.